You're listening to The Oddscast, the original UFC betting podcast that's straight to the point. Hosted by leading MMA oddsmaker Nick Kalikas and MMA journalist Brian Heminger, they provide you the absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting, MMAoddsbreaker.com. Don't place your wagers without us.
Welcome to The Oddscast, presented by BetDSI. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Saturday's UFC 239 event, which takes place in Las Vegas, Nevada. If you're unfamiliar with our format, Nick and I will break down the fight card from top to bottom, providing extensive analysis and a pick for each fight after doing our film study for the event. Looking back at our last event, Kyle Marley lost 1.08 units on his free bet for UFC on ESPN3 on Junior Albini, although Kyle did have a overall positive event with his premium picks. Kyle has his bets and fantasy MMA picks available now on MMAoddsbreaker.com. Back to the present, UFC 239 features a 12-fight card in total and will be aired on UFC Fight Pass, ESPN, and pay-per-view this Saturday night. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking things off on Fight Pass is a women's bantamweight contest between Julia Avila, who is 6-1, and Pani Khienzad, who is 11-4. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
As always, a couple quick shout-outs before we get rolling here. Make sure you check out our sponsored sportsbook, betdsi.eu. That's where I'm going to be quoting all the updated lines as we speak here in a second. And also check out Big Marley 3's MMAOB Premium Picks. That's available under Premium Picks tab at MMAoddsbreaker.com. The guy's been killing it. He's up over 25K in the last 13 months, so get on board. He's got some exciting plays and big plays for this weekend for UFC 239, and he's very excited about it. So make sure you check out MMAOB Premium on our tabs at MMAoddsbreaker.com. So getting into this fight, Avila opened minus 135, the comeback on Khienzad at minus 105. Right now, over at BetDSI, we are seeing Avila at minus 196, the comeback on Khienzad at plus 174. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. More action coming in on Avila right away. I agree with it. I know Khienzad is coming in on short notice, so you got to consider that a little bit as well. But stylistically, outside of that, I think Avila is just simply the better fighter. I think Khienzad is definitely a talented fighter. She has a lot of good experience, obviously, from the Ultimate Fighter as well. But I think she's always been a tad bit overrated. I think she has a very complete game, but she doesn't really blow you out in any particular area. So I just think she's a tough chick. She's capable of beating, I think, the kind of the mid to upper level chicks, more so than anything else. But I think Avila's just one step ahead of her here. I think Avila's going to put the pressure on her. I think she's going to be the better and more dynamic striker here. I think Avila actually could probably get top position on the ground if she wants as well. I think she's just more technically sound overall, and she's going to push the higher pace, and she's going to push it at a consistent pace. I like what I see from Avila. Again, she has a little bit of pop in her hands. She's got a little bit of power. I think she could do some damage along the way on Khienzad. Khienzad, again, is a talented fighter, but defensively she is a little bit flawed. She's hittable, and again, if you get her on the ground, obviously she's got some issues on the ground as well at times. Now, offensively, though, Khienzad is, again, dangerous. You got to respect her stand up a little bit. She does have a little bit of power also, and then again, capable of doing some good things offensively on the ground, but I just don't think it's going to be enough here. I think Avila is going to be a step ahead of her. I think Avila is going to be outpointing her, and I think, like I said, even eventually along the way, I think it's a possibility that Avila does get the finish here as well. So it's hard not to like Avila here, and under 2-1, I think there's still a little bit of value on her as well. So you can't go crazy here. Again, this, I think it will be competitive if hits the scorecards, but I still give the edge to Avila.
Yeah, you have to factor in that Khienzad is stepping in on short notice here, and she's also had historically some issues making weight for fights, so I'm definitely concerned about that. Overall, Khienzad just, I don't think she's good enough here to take on somebody like Avila. Avila is very talented. She has some quality victories in her career already, beating people like Marion Renault, Nico Montano. She has some really, really good power. And I think on the feet, she is going to steamroll Khienzad. What I'm really only concerned about is if Khienzad can really get the wrestling going and stifle Avila's game, which could be possible. But again, you factor in the short notice, and I don't know how good of a conditioning she's going to have in this fight. So maybe Khienzad can get a little bit of grappling going early, but if she does not take Avila out, and I don't think she can,
then I think it's only a matter of time until Avila takes over, and I think Avila does get a TKO victory in this fight. So Avila's going to be my pick. Now moving up to the welterweight division, we have Ismael Nardiev, who is 18-2, taking on Chance Rencounter, who is 13-3. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Nardiev opened -305, the comeback on Rencounter at +225. And right now what you're seeing over at BetDSI is Nardiev at -526, the comeback on Rencounter at +400. So again, line margins have tightened up, more action coming in Nardiev's way. Man, making your UFC debut and beating a guy like Prezeris is quite an accomplishment. I mean, Prezeris has been on a roll, just outside of lightweight as well. When he stepped up to welterweight, Prezeris, you know, he's been fighting both divisions, of course, having trouble making the lightweight division. And we would think that welterweight would be a little bit tougher, but Prezeris went in there and definitely showed that he could hang even with the best of the welterweight. So that's the kind of quality you have in Prezeris. But again, Nardiev steps in his debut on shorter notice and beats Prezeris. You have to respect that. And the way he did it was impressive. I mean, Prezeris is a little tank of a man. I mean, he comes at you. He's obviously shown some good striking ability with power on the feet as well. So he's dangerous that way. But the grinding and the takedowns and the ground game has been even more impressive. Nardiev was able to neutralize all that, land some good striking on the feet. And then of course, even on the ground had a lot of success too. I mean, even if he got put on his back, he was able to reverse things. That's the kind of fighter you're getting from Nardiev. So he's very capable of sprawling and brawling, keeping the fight upright, and then doing some damage on the feet. I mean, if you look at the power in his hands and his feet, I mean, he's impressive. He throws fast. He's explosive when he does so as well, and he has power behind it. So I think Nardiev on the feet is going to be too much for Rencounter. Rencounter's a pretty solid fighter. I mean, I'm glad to see him get some respect. He had a huge win over Kyle Stewart in his last fight, which Stewart is not an easy win. So that shows you a lot. A lot of people were underestimating him. All of us were a bit as well. I mean, I know Rencounter is a very solid fighter, but to get the win like he did there was, I mean, more than impressive. So that was, you know, you got to take your hat off to him. But here, I think it's just going to be too much of a step up. I think Nardiev is going to be the more effective striker on the feet. I don't think Rencounter is going to have that success on the ground as much either here. I think just stylistically, it's a terrible matchup for him because I think Nardiev is going to be able to neutralize him and then do more damage along the way as well. So hard not to like Nardiev here. That's why you're seeing him as a high favorite. I think the guy is a legit prospect that we're going to see some good things for him. I mean, he's starting off well. If he gets this win over Rencounter, that's, you know, 2-0 in the octagon, and he's well on his way. So I like what I see in Nardiev. I think he's going to be a tough out for a lot of fighters in the future as well.
And I'm right with you. Rencounter is better than I gave him credit for after that initial UFC loss on short notice. He looked pretty solid in his last fight, getting a relatively quick victory over Kyle Stewart as an underdog. But Nardiev, man, I thought that he was more all flash when he was making his UFC debut, but to beat Prezeris, I mean, that takes some talent. It really does. And you know, Traitor is a guy that had, you know, kind of been unstoppable with pressure on the feet and then getting takedowns and then just beating people on the canvas, whether it was with wrestling or submissions. And Nardiev was able to not only avoid takedowns, but when he did get taken down, he was able to get back to his feet. And that's just something that I think is going to give him a huge edge here, because Rencounter needs to get the grappling going to win this fight. He is not a good enough striker to stand and bang with Nardiev. Nardiev is too diverse with his striking attack, has some lethal kicks, body kicks, wheel kicks, you name it. I mean, this guy can blast people. And I really think if Rencounter cannot get this to the floor and get the submission game going, then it's only a matter of time until he gets caught. And with Nardiev's ability to stay upright or get back to his feet, it's just going to be too tough for Rencounter. So I'm going to side with Nardiev. I think he either outpoints Rencounter or more than likely connects with something nasty and puts him out. So my pick's going to be Nardiev. Now moving up to the middleweight division, we have Jack Marshman, who is 23-8, taking on Edmund Shahbazyan, who is 9-0. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Shahbazyan -380, the comeback on Marshman at +260. And right now what you're seeing over at BetDSI is currently Shahbazyan at -588, the comeback on Marshman at +432. So another spot where the chalk just got bet up a little bit higher as well. And another spot where I mean, honestly, it's probably right. Hard to bet 5-1 where it is now in Shabazzian, because defensively he is a little bit flawed. He's hittable, and Marshman does have a little bit of power. You got to also respect Marshman's ground game as well. I mean, he's probably underrated in that regard. But all that being said, I mean, this is a very tough fight for Marshman, because I think Shabazzian's legit. I mean, he showed that already time and time again thus far in his short UFC career, because the guy has skill everywhere the fight takes place. He's capable of beating you on the feet, but I think it's his fight IQ, the ability to take the fight to the ground and then do some damage there and try to end the fight there as well. So he's a very complete fighter. Obviously, there was some buzz and hype going into his career, Ronda Rousey being his manager. There's a lot, you know, expectations for Shabazzian, and I think the UFC's kind of bringing him along the proper way. Now that they've seen this guy is legit, they've tested him out a little bit. They're believers, I believe, and I think that this is a case where they're setting him up again for another difficult matchup, because you got to respect Marshman, what he brings to the table. The guy could definitely finish some fights, and he's not going to be an easy out, but it's a fight Shabazzian should be able to control, should be able to outclass Marshman really wherever the fight takes place. I know, like I said, on the feet it's going to be interesting, but on the ground there's no question Shabazzian is a much better fighter. So I think across the board, I mean, he's high chalk for a reason. He should win this fight, a nice stepping stone type of fight. Marshman, again, you got to respect the danger. So at 5-1, I'd probably stay away from it right now, but Shabazzian really should win this fight. So it's hard not to pick him to win.
And I'm right with you. Shabazzian's just too well-rounded here. You know, I wasn't quite sure how legitimate he was, and then he goes and steamrolls Charles Byrd in 38 seconds. And I think that kind of cemented it for me after he had, you know, a split decision over Darren Stewart in his UFC debut. And then you even go back to, you know, a 40-second win over Antonio Jones on Contender Series. So, you know, Shabazzian is definitely capable of getting that quick flash finish. You know, he has some really impressive power. He's diverse with his skill set, and he is definitely the more technical striker of the two. Marshman is definitely the type of guy that wants to fight in a phone booth. He wants to make it a little uglier. He wants to get inside. He wants to brawl. And if Shabazzian, you know, takes him up on that, then that's going to even the odds considerably. But if Shabazzian is able to utilize his full skill set, if he's able to utilize range, if he's able to get his kicks going, if he's just able to mix things up, then this should be a piece of cake. But you always do have to be a little concerned when you face a brawler, because if they can sucker you into a brawl, that takes away a significant portion of your advantage. So that's Marshman's path to victory. I think it's going to be a little too tough for him to get that going. And I think it's only a matter of time until Shabazzian lands some nasty stuff and slows Marshman down. So my pick's going to be Shabazzian. I think he probably wins it by decision, because Marshman's really tough, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that Shabazzian could finish him as well. So Shabazzian's going to be my pick. Now, dropping down to the bantamweight division for the ESPN preliminary card, we have Alejandro Perez, who is 21-7-1, taking on Song Yadong, who is 13-3. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Yadong open -185, the comeback on Perez +145. And right now over at BetDSI, we are seeing Yadong at -217, Perez at +189. So line margins have tightened up, a little bit more action coming in on Yadong, but not a crazy, crazy move. Cause you know what? You got to respect Perez and everything he's showed us thus far in the UFC. I mean, Perez has been a tough out. He's not somebody you could take lightly. I mean, he's faced some really good competition. He's another one of these guys that after winning the Ultimate Fighter, I mean, has just really come on strong, especially from the Latin America community. I mean, out of those fighters, he's the one that's honestly been excelling the most, I think, one of them, at least. I mean, obviously with Yair Rodriguez, but I'm saying he's up there, at least, put it that way, as far as what he's accomplished thus far in the UFC and the improvements he's made. I mean, that's the thing with Perez. I think he was a pretty solid, okay fighter coming into his UFC career with the Ultimate Fighter, but man, he's put the work in. I mean, he's been working extremely hard, and he's developed a really good, solid all-around game. I mean, he's hard to take down. That's gotten a lot better, so his ground awareness and ground game has improved quite a bit. He is a pretty good striker with movement offensively. Everything about that is effective, and he can outpoint and outstrike most people. The problem with Perez, though, that he really can't help, but that chin is pretty bad. I mean, he's the type of fighter that's tough, and he can get rocked and to just recover and usually comes back and he's still in fights. So you got to love that about Perez. I mean, that's kind of the warrior spirit in him. But the problem is defensively, he is flawed where he can get hit. He can get rocked, and it happens quite a bit. So that's what I don't like about Perez. I mean, it's always like he has to, after he gets hurt or whatever, he has to kind of bounce back and win the cards back, or, you know, kind of get back into the fight and step it up a notch. Well, with Yudong, I'm not sure he's going to get that. Yudong has been very impressive as well. I think he's an extremely talented fighter. I mean, again, a lot of hype and a lot of buzz around him, but he's really been picking up, I think, the pace as far as improvement goes quite a bit. I mean, the guy is a powerful, well-rounded fighter in his own right. I mean, the explosiveness that he has, I think he could do some real damage. I'm impressed with his striking abilities, come a long way as well. So even if this fight stays on the feet, which it probably will for the most part, because Perez does have some pretty good takedown defense, I just think Yudong's a little bit more complete. I think he's a better wrestler here as well. But on the feet, I think Yudong can honestly hurt Perez. And even though it'll be a competitive fight, because Perez is going to have his moments as well, I think the power that Yudong lands with is going to probably hurt Perez and then eventually maybe even put him out. If not, Yudong could probably follow up and control this thing a little bit more as well. So I think cage control goes to Yudong. I think the pure power striking edge goes there as well. I think wrestling goes there as well. Even though Perez does have improvements in all those areas that I mentioned, I think Perez is capable of winning this maybe on the scorecards, outpointing Yudong and maybe stealing the fight that way. But outside of that, I really think this is a good fight for Yudong, and it's a good step up in competition as far as getting a quality win, because Perez, again, has done a lot of great things recently and he's beaten a lot of solid competition. So not an easy fight for Yudong, but I'm a believer, man. I think this guy is legit, and I think he probably wins this in highlight reel type of fashion by the time it hits the scorecards or whatnot. I think he does win it probably inside the distance. So the pick is Yudong to get a quality win over Perez.
Yeah, Perez is well-rounded, and that does make him dangerous. I'm concerned that maybe he could, just kind of keep switching things up in this fight. He has decent wrestling. He has a decent ground game. He has good leg kicks. He has, pretty respectable boxing, but, I just think Yudong's a little bit more dangerous, because while Perez is pretty capable in all areas, he's not amazing in all areas. And that does get him in trouble a little bit. Like, his last fight, he was facing a very good wrestler in Cody Stamann, so he was a little concerned about the wrestling, because Stamann is normally a top, a tenacious grappler, and Stamann was actually able to outstrike him, because he was, concerned about somebody having really, really good wrestling. And Yudong here, I think, is a very good power striker, and the one biggest weakness with Perez is his chin. I can't remember if he's been knocked out before, but he gets hurt in a lot of his fights. And then he usually is able to bounce back and make it interesting. But, I think Yudong has the explosiveness, the range, and the power to potentially put Perez out. Perez, is a capable striker, but the defense is a bit lacking. So, in this fight, I think, Yudong being, a little bit better, in terms of, leg reach, a little bit taller, just a little bit more active, a little bit more accurate. I think that those will play out, and I don't think Perez's ground game is good enough to get anything going. I mean, Yudong has stifled every takedown that's been thrown his way, and he's actually been able to get takedowns in his fights. I mean, he's just a good, solid, well-rounded fighter that's dangerous, and now that he's fighting at bantamweight for his last couple fights, his natural weight class, I think that he could be a threat in the bantamweight division. So I'm going to favor Yudong, although Perez is capable of surprising because he is just so even-keeled and well-rounded. But I think Yudong is going to be able to take advantage of the minor flaws that Perez has, particularly the chin and strength and durability. So I would not be shocked if Yudong wins a decision or potentially a knockout. Now dropping down to the women's strawweight division, we have Claudia Gadelha, who is 16-4, taking on Randa Marcos, who is 9-6-1. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Gadelha opened minus 365, the comeback on Marcos at plus 255. And right now, what you're seeing over at BetDSI, it's minus 250 on Gadelha, the comeback on Marcos plus 211. So action coming in on Marcos again. Line margins have tightened up. Can't blame people out there. Gadelha, in my opinion, she was honestly my pick for the best female fighter at one point overall. I mean, that's how good skill, quality. I mean, everything about Gadelha was at one point in her prime. And I'm saying that because I think she is a decline type of fighter. I mean, if you look at what she's done lately, losing to Ansaroff, I don't think that would have happened a couple years ago when she was in line for those title shots against JJ. I think since those fights, honestly, I mean, what has been more than anything else, I mean, that stands out for her, Gadelha, is obviously her cardio and conditioning issues. And I think it's only getting worse, and it's sad to see, because I was hoping that she could probably get that in check. Because if that was the case, I mean, honestly, in those fights against JJ, she could have obviously won the title if her conditioning held up a little bit more. She started slowing down in those fights. But after that, I mean, she showed some flaws. I mean, like I said, I think her striking, her defense is getting worse. Everything about her game is just seems to be a step down, and it's really a head scratcher, because I think it's one of those situations maybe with Gadelha that she went to the top, but she didn't accomplish her goal. And now, I mean, it's almost like the motivation is a little bit gone. I don't know. I'm just speculating myself here. I'm just trying to figure her out, because it's a shame. And again, I think she, as far as overall skill goes, I mean, she has underrated striking on the feet. Of course, she has such a good ground game, highlighted by some wrestling and good jiu-jitsu. I mean, outstanding. People cannot fend off Gadelha in most cases now. So that's not what we've been seeing lately. I mean, she's been struggling in these fights, and Marcos presents a lot of problems for her. I think this is going to be an extremely close fight. Marcos, of course, you could say a lot of the same things about her, though. I mean, conditioning, I think she's addressed it a little bit more, and we have seen Marcos. In my opinion, I think that was an issue, and it does peak its head at times with Marcos. But overall, in this matchup here, I do trust her conditioning a little bit more than I would Gadelha. But outside of that, Marcos is one of these fighters that has sneaky, decent striking, meaning that she can be effective in her striking. She moves well. She has some speed. She has a really good ground game to go along with it. Typically speaking, she can beat most with a wrestling and ground attack on a, you know, and against most opponents. But against Gadelha here, that's probably not going to be the case. So this is going to be interesting. I think if it's one of those fights where Marcos needs to survive early, because we have seen her, even though offensively she's good underground, she has been put on her back. She has been submitted underground as well. So she does have those flaws. And of course, with Marcos, it's an eyesore. If you look at her resume, it's one of those situations that it seems like she has a good fight, then she blows a fight. You know, she wins a fight, loses a fight, wins a fight, loses a fight. Well, she's coming off a win. So, and I mean, if you're going to use that MMA math, which is not a good one, not a good thing to use, but she's almost due for a loss. Again, you got to throw it out the window. I'm almost joking about that, but her consistency is what I'm trying to point out the most. I mean, we cannot see her string a good, you know, two or three fight streak together where she's pulled off some solid wins. So hard to trust Marcos at this point as well, but to me, this is a dog or pass situation. Again, all the people that came in early on at Marcos, I get it. I mean, I think it's probably going to be a case where Gadelha wins round one, and round two again gets interesting. If she starts slowing down, maybe Marcos can pull off that win, because she wins round two and round three. So that's always going to be the case against quality competition in Gadelha if she can't get rid of him early. So Gadelha is going to really have to work hard, I think, in round one and try to finish Marcos, which is a possibility. I wouldn't be shocked if that happens. But if she doesn't get it done in round one, then I think it's going to be an extremely close fight if it hits scorecards, which it probably will. So we're talking about a split decision type of fight. So that's why, again, there's value on Marcos probably over Gadelha at this point. I can't believe I'm saying it myself, because, again, a couple years ago I would not be, you know, thinking this would be a competitive fight, because Gadelha was, I think, that much ahead of most girls in this weight class. But it is what it is now. It's 2019. Gadelha is not looking that great. So I'm expecting another kind of lackluster performance. It's going to leave the door open for Marcos to win it. Now, with that said, I'm still going to pick Gadelha, because I do think she is the better fighter. And she could squeak this out, even if it hits the scorecards, maybe with a competitive 29-28, you know, split decision type of win. But for her sake, I think I hope she looks more impressive, because it'd be awesome to see her kind of get back on track, get on a roll, and maybe address these little issues that she's shown us lately, and maybe not be done overall. But to me, you got to be careful with Gadelha these days. I think she is kind of a sharp fighter that's on the decline. So my pick is Gadelha to win, and hopefully it's at least an exciting fight.
Yeah, on paper, Gadelha should win this fight. Like Nick said, you know, when she entered the UFC, I thought for sure it was only a matter of time until she became champion, especially when she was, you know, when Carla Esparza was champ. I thought, you know, the second Gadelha gets her hands on her, it's over. But Gadelha definitely has been a bit of a disappointment so far. I mean, you have to admit that. She's had her moments, like when she had Joanna Jędrzejczyk hurt, won the first two rounds, and then lost the next three. So that's kind of been her MO, is, you know, she's a strong starter, but she just can't keep the pace. Conditioning has been a significant issue for her entire career. I think she just has some unnecessary muscle, and it just wears her out when she expends too much energy. So that is a path to victory for Randa Marcos, because, you know, Marcos is somebody that can go at a decent pace, and if she can push a really high tempo, she might be able to wear Gadelha out. But overall, Gadelha is stronger. Gadelha has better wrestling. Gadelha has a little bit more power in her hands, and Gadelha has I would say, the better submission. So you would think that Kadelia should be able to steamroll this, and Marcos can be submitted. But so Kadelia could win this absolutely. And it's possible that even if she does slow down, that she wins the first two rounds and takes a decision. But I am a little concerned that Marcos could come on strong late and take this. As Nick said, Marcos is well-rounded. She has improving boxing. She has good, strong wrestling foundation. She could make it really difficult for Kadelia to get her ground game going if that's what she wants to do. And Marcos potentially could, finish Kadelia late. But overall, I'm still going to side with Kadelia. I think it's going to be close potentially, but, Kadelia does have the talent. It's just that one fatal flaw is, it's scary, but I still think that she has what it takes. So, Kadelia is going to be my pick, although I agree with Nick that, the odds are not, probable of betting her. So Kadelia is my pick, but just be careful out there. Now, moving up to the bantamweight division, we have Marlon Vera, who is 13-5, taking on Noelen Hernandez, who is 10-2. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Vera open minus 325, Hernandez plus 250. And what you're seeing right now over at BetDSI is currently, it's a new line out there, so a lot of places don't got it posted, but on the market price right now, it's minus 580 plus 415, it looks like, on the down best screen. So that's what you're seeing out there, almost 6-1 for Vera over Hernandez. So again, more books are going to be adding this fight. So those of you guys that are listening, probably by the time this hits the airwaves or whatnot, the more places will have that Vera Hernandez lineup. But that said, around 500 now. I mean, obviously Vera got bet up a little bit, and it's tough. I mean, Hernandez stepping in on super short notice here. He's not a bad fighter. He trains at AKA. He's got very solid striking. He's got some KO power. A bit flat-footed, which bothers me if you look at his footwork at times. I mean, he does have some movement, but at times when he's hittable when he's a little bit more flat-footed, which is a concern. But again, I think he's pretty solid where he does have some nice boxing, and he can deliver some punishment along the way. And he tends to have that kind of style, sprawl, brawl, and beat you up on the feet. I don't think that's going to work here. I think the people that are, I mean, these days, the people that are going to beat Vera, especially in this situation, this style of matchup, I think are going to have to not just only outstrike Vera, but probably get him on his back and kind of grind him out that way. And I don't think Hernandez goes for the takedowns as much, even though he's coming from a wrestling-oriented camp in AKA. That's just not his style and method of fighting. So if that's the case, Vera should be able to kind of have his way with Hernandez on the feet. Vera has to be careful. He's got to respect Hernandez's striking ability. But I think Vera is going to be the one outpointing, because again, I think Hernandez is a little bit more hittable. Vera showed a lot of toughness, has been in there with a lot of good strikers so far in the UFC as well. And if Hernandez does get a takedown, I mean, Vera is capable of doing some good things off his back as well. So, I mean, that's why you're seeing everybody bet this up a little bit. Unfortunately, even though Hernandez is a very solid fighter, I think stylistically this is a tough fight, especially him coming in on short notice, because Vera should probably outpoint him on the feet and do some damage. And Hernandez, I would think, would slow down as the fight goes. I mean, typically speaking, he's got decent cardio, but again, I mean, it's always going to be a factor when any fighter steps in on short notice to see, what exactly his conditioning level is. So I'm expecting it to be okay, but I think Vera still outpoints him and beats him, maybe even finishes him in this fight. Vera's improved quite a bit. I mean, I think he still has a ways to go, and he might be a little bit overrated still at this point. But I mean, make no mistakes. As we were talking about with Perez, Vera's another one of these guys that has put the work in, that has gotten his game a lot better off than he was on the Ultimate Fighter. And he belongs, man. And he's a tough out. So I'm glad to see the success from a guy like Vera. And again, earlier that we mentioned Perez, because they put in the hard work and they deserve to be in this spot. And they're definitely, like I said, on the rise. Vera's on the rise, and he keeps on getting better, and he keeps on improving. The UFC does like his fighting style. I mean, the guy's a fun fighter to watch as well. So with all that said, I get why people are betting Vera early on in this fight. It's just a tough matchup for Hernandez. So I wouldn't recommend it, though, at this point. I wouldn't even throw him in a parlay. 5-1. I mean, Hernandez has enough power. There's no real value left around 5 or 6-1 on Vera. So just stay away from it at this point. But Vera should get the W here.
And I'm right with you. Hernandez is pretty talented, but he is stepping in on 4 days' notice. So that is really tough. I mean, this was going to be a pretty evenly matched bout originally between Marlon Vera and Sean O'Malley. And I think I probably would have favored O'Malley. But Hernandez, while he is talented, he's probably one of the better bantamweights that wasn't in the UFC. But Just the short notice combined with Vera being a well above average bantamweight. You know, when Vera first started in the UFC, I thought, you know, I didn't think much of him. He was more of a guy that really could only beat people if he was on his back trying to get submissions with like triangle chokes or arm bars. But he's added so much more to his game. His striking is actually significantly more dangerous. He has some power in his hands now. His kicking game is strong. And then obviously his ground game is still a threat. So, Hernandez, I don't really see an easy path to victory here. Hernandez is a decent offensive striker, has some pretty good boxing. But I think the striking defense is the big issue here. So, Hernandez might be able to get something going on the feet, but if Vera can crack back, and he absolutely can, there's going to be some defensive holes to exploit, and I would not be shocked one bit if Vera drops Hernandez and either puts him out with the ground and pound or potentially jumps on a submission when Hernandez is in peril. So I think Hernandez holds his own for a little bit, but I think it's only a matter of time until Vera drops him and finishes him. So Vera's going to be my pick. Now moving on to the preliminary card headliner. In the featherweight division, we have Gilbert Melendez, who is 22-7, taking on Arnold Allen, who is 14-1. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Allen opened -245, the comeback on Melendez at +175. But right now, what we're seeing over at BetDSI is Allen -345, the comeback +272 on Melendez. Another one of these spots where, man, I mean, if this was years ago, Gilbert Melendez was, in my opinion, at one point, he was probably the best lightweight in the world. I've got so much respect for that guy. I mean, he's been underrated most of his career. I mean, Strikeforce champion again. When he was in his prime, the guy was so good everywhere. I mean, you're talking about great boxing, great wrestling, great jiu-jitsu. I mean, good takedown defense. Across the board, the guy was a stud. That's why he was, in my opinion, again, the best lightweight in the world at one point. But that was years ago. In fact, when he made his UFC debut, it was almost a little bit too late for him. I mean, I know early on, I mean, he put on some good performances, and he still has put on some great ones. I mean, the guy's, again, one of these guys you consider a warrior because he's just tough as nails and with the skill to go along with it. But make no mistake, I mean, he's an aging fighter. He's been around the sport for so long that he hasn't really showed his best thus far in the UFC. And right now, what they're doing against Allen is using him as a stepping stone, which is kind of sad to see, but I understand it. I get it. It's business. And I mean, you want to have these up and coming fighters like Allen, you know, pick off some of these guys that are older vets that, you know, you can get respectable wins and have your resume look impressive. And that's exactly what this matchup is for. Of course, if it backfires on the UFC and Melendez pulls off this victory over Allen, then he just beat a young gun and he's back in the mix a little bit. So a lot to like, you know, as far as the matchmaking about this fight, but I mean, like I said, even though Melendez is a really talented fighter, I think right now the improvements that Allen's been making, I mean, they're evident. The guy's getting better. I mean, he's a young gun. He's going to obviously be much younger. I believe he's 12 years younger than Melendez, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, so you got to factor that in right away. He's had a lot less wear and tear on his body. And again, he's honestly getting better fight by fight. His win over Rinaldi in his last fight proved a lot. I mean, Mads Burnell is a tough guy, you know, the fight before that to handle on the ground as well. So a lot of impressive things showing for a guy like this. So I really like what I see in Allen. I mean, like I said, I think honestly, as long as he doesn't get outgrinded by Melendez here, I think he's going to win the fight because I can, even though Melendez has good boxing and he'll have his moments in this fight, I think the durability factor here with Allen's going to be landing a little bit harder. I think Allen's going to be landing and doing more damage along the way. So, and I think, like I said, I like the takedown defense and the improvements Allen's made in his ground game as well. So I think this is going to probably end up playing out on the feet a little bit more so, and Melendez is probably going to get busted up. And of course, I mean, we've seen some areas that Melendez is kind of, you know, glaring weaknesses right now. Of course, leg kicks and other areas that Allen can definitely exploit. And I think he probably does take advantage of that. So unfortunately for Melendez, I mean, again, he's one of my all-time favorite fighters, but I just think this is a tough matchup for him here. I think that Allen is going to get the win and, you know, have another solid win. So it's one of those, you know, factors here where you have a young gun coming in and just kind of beating a gatekeeper that Melendez currently is for the UFC. So Allen gets a win, in my opinion, and it's going to be a solid one for him for sure.
Yeah, that's my main issue here is, you know, prime Gilbert Melendez definitely would be favored against Allen. I mean, he was one of the best technical boxers in MMA, and that's just passed him by a little bit. I mean, his last two fights, he got outstruck badly. I mean, first he just had a clinic put on him by Edson Barboza, and then most recently he dropped down to the featherweight division and Jeremy Stevens just lit him up with leg kicks. I mean, he was just getting torched with leg kicks, and that did some serious damage. And, you know, Melendez didn't fight all of last year, and now he's finally fighting again at 37 years old. I just think the game's passed him by a little bit. And, you know, being older, he's not as durable, he's not as quick, he doesn't have the same reflexes. He probably still does have some pop in his hands, so Arnold will have to be careful. But Arnold Allen is such a talented fighter. I mean, this kid is well-rounded. He has a respectable enough striking game, very good ground game. So I think he's just going to be a threat for Melendez just about everywhere. Now, normally, you know, in Melendez's prime, I wouldn't have said that Allen could hold his own with Melendez on the feet, but I think he will this time around because, I mean, it wasn't even that long ago that Melendez got dropped by Diego Sanchez, of all people. So, you know, he's entering this fight on a 4-fight losing streak. This just, and all 4 of those fights that he had were against elite opponents. But this definitely feels like a passing of the torch. You know, Allen has been very successful in the UFC so far, gone 5-0. And I think, this time around, this is going to be that big stamp on Allen's track record that kind of cements him as a potential threat in the featherweight division. I think Allen can outstrike Melendez shockingly on the feet. And if it does go to the ground, Allen, I think, can, just grapple circles around him just with the speed and reflexes and, just the things that Allen is able to do, the flexibility that he has, the quickness that he can latch on, submissions. I think that could also could affect Melendez. You know, normally Melendez, you know, nobody's able to grapple with him because he doesn't, you know, let people take him down, but I think that that is a possibility here. So I'm going to side with Arnold Allen. I just think he's too young and strong and talented, and, he's going to be dangerous. So my pick's going to be Allen. Now moving up to the welterweight division for the main card on pay-per-view, we have Diego Sanchez, who is 31-11, taking on Michael Chiesa, who is 15-4. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Chiesa opened -275, the comeback on Sanchez at +195. And right now what we're seeing is -370 over DSI, the comeback on Sanchez +300. I get it here as well. I mean, another one of these passing the torch kind of things. Not that Chiesa's a up-and-coming, you know, prospect or nothing. He's been around the sport for a while now as well. And he's always been in the mix of, you know, possibly putting a string of fights together, quality wins, and maybe, you know, vying for a title shot. So that's how good Chiesa is as far as like who he's been able to beat and what he's done so far in the UFC. Of course, Sanchez, one of the original Ultimate Fighters, amazing that he's still competing at this point. And you know what? I mean, he's still getting some wins and he's still competitive. I mean, that's just Diego Sanchez for you. I'll tell you what, you got to respect the guy. I mean, you know, I believe he won, if I'm not mistaken, his last 2 back to back, and he's won probably 3 out of the last 5 or something. So, I mean, for Sanchez to be doing this, I mean, 2 OGs, that's why comparable for sure. But Sanchez to still be winning fights in the UFC is remarkable for me at this point. So the guy's a tough out. I mean, his toughness, his style, you cannot take him lightly. So Chiesa, though, on the other hand, honestly, at this point, should have a lot of advantages in this spot. I mean, Sanchez, even though he outgrapples a lot of people, he can be put on his back. We've seen him get controlled. And off his back, he's not as dangerous, obviously, in the submission game as he is when he's in top position or whatnot. So Sanchez, you know, that's kind of going to be his flaw here against Chiesa. Chiesa has that underrated, you know, takedown ability. He gets a fight to the floor. And of course, if he gets your back, I mean, he could submit most. But that might not be the case for Sanchez. Diego Sanchez is so hard to submit. I mean, you know, his defensively, he's very sound on the ground, so he's not going to be an easy out on the ground for Chiesa at all here. But I still think even if it doesn't play out on the ground, I think with a little bit of reach advantage that Chiesa has, the body kicks that he's able to throw, and then with the length that he has on the feet, he could probably do a little bit more damage along the way. Now, Sanchez is going to be bringing it. I mean, I don't personally think that Chiesa is a very good striker at all. I think he needs to continue to develop that. He is improving that. But again, his unorthodox style of going about the striking and And the point for me is that Sanchez does get marked up quite a bit. I mean, he's definitely the type of fighter that shows damage easy in fights. So I think Chiesa can mark him up and do enough damage even on the feet along the way. But I think it's going to be a combination of him controlling the fight, getting Sanchez down, and then just kind of landing a little bit more damage along the way probably gets him the win here. But again, Chiesa is kind of off and on, like hot and cold at times for me. I mean, honestly, at this point, I know Anthony Pettis is a very, you know, he's a tough out. He can be a tough out at times still, but for me, he should have won that fight over Pettis. You don't get beat by Anthony Pettis in 2019 if you were going to be a legit title contender. Now, again, not disrespecting Pettis at all. I know he's, you know, showed some flashes recently as well, but I still don't think that that's a good loss for Chiesa at this point, even if it is against a stud legend like Anthony Pettis. But that said, he should roll here. Should get, obviously, keep things going back his way. He had an impressive win over Condit. Now he can follow it up with Sanchez. I mean, he's going to beat two legends kind of the sport. So that would be a great win for him. And then maybe he can put something more together. But I don't trust Chiesa at this point, honestly. So I would stay away from it because I think personally, I'm not sure. I mean, I think he had that hunger and then the Conor McGregor situation with the bus attack, everything. I don't know. I'm kind of skeptical about where he is mentally and physically at this point of his career. So if he doesn't show up and he takes Sanchez lightly, this could be a lot closer fight than we all think. So that's why I stay away from this one as well. Obviously, from top to bottom, I mean, there's a lot of heavy chalk on this card, so it's not an easy one to bet, but it should be a pretty good, solid card, I think, to watch at least. So the pick for me is Chiesa. He probably does get the win over Sanchez.
Yeah, Michael Chiesa is just younger, longer. I think that he has better wrestling. He has a little bit more technical skill just about everywhere compared to Diego Sanchez, but Diego Sanchez does make up for it with heart, tenacity. He's tough as nails, and he has very good conditioning. So if Chiesa takes Sanchez lightly, he could get overwhelmed. I mean, we've seen some really talented fighters before break a little bit against Diego Sanchez because maybe they were looking good early, but they started to fade, and Diego senses that. And, I mean, he just turns it up a notch. So I'm a little concerned about that, but for the most part, you know, this is a very winnable fight for Chiesa. I think that on the feet, Chiesa has a decent reach advantage. He's not the best striker in the world, but neither is Diego. Diego just kind of wings his shots and presses forward and throws big bombs, and he doesn't have the most power, but if he does connect, he can hurt you. I mean, he's hurt some people in the past. He doesn't have a lot of TKOs on his record, but he can definitely do some damage. So Chiesa will have to at least have his guard up, but for the most part, I mean, you look at how these guys compete, and I'd say that Chiesa is just a little bit younger, and I think, honestly, it's smarter if Chiesa utilizes the ground game. He has a better takedown defense. He has better takedown offense. He's more aggressive pursuing takedowns. And even though Diego isn't the greatest striker, I think he's probably just playing with fire a little bit because Diego can really sucker him into a brawl potentially, and that's not what he wants. So I think Chiesa gets takedowns. He gets top position. It's going to be tough to submit somebody like Diego, but I think he can at least ride out a couple rounds and take a decision against somebody that's really tough. So Diego has proven me wrong in the past, and I've been happy to be proven wrong because it's great to see an OG vet like Diego Sanchez still having some success in the UFC, but I do think that Chiesa's ground game is going to be a little bit too much for him here. So my pick is going to be Michael Chiesa. Now moving up to the light heavyweight division, we have Jan Blachowicz, who is 23-8, taking on Luke Rockhold, who is 16-4. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Rockhold -215, Blachowicz +165 was the opening line. And right now over at BetDSI, we are seeing Rockhold -227, Blachowicz at +188. So line margins have tightened up, a little bit more action coming in Rockhold's way, but nothing crazy. I get it. I think it was a solid line where it's at right now. And it's a tough one because Rockhold is by far the better fighter across the board. I mean, he's actually been one of the best middleweights for a long time. I mean, skill wise, he has that length. He's got some really good striking on the feet, highlighted by an underrated kicking game, some good movement offensively. I mean, the guy has some skill. On the ground, though, it's where he excels. I think he's one of the most devastating finishers that we've ever seen in MMA. I mean, that's how good this guy is once he gets you to the ground. Doesn't have to be submissions. I mean, he gets positional control, and he starts landing bombs. I mean, he can finish you by, you know, TKO on the ground or sub you. And a lot of people can't do much about it because it's just the way he goes about it once he has you down. I mean, against, we've seen him do it against high-level jiu-jitsu practitioners on the ground as well. So Rockhold is legit. Offensively, he is such a tough out. And size-wise, he's not going to really be out of his realm, at, even at light heavyweight. So, I mean, he's going to be – actually, these guys are going to be the same size. Black Witch, of course, there's a lot to like about him as well. I mean, I think he's a very tough fighter. I think he's very solid, but he does have some flaws. He can be put on his back at times by better wrestlers. Of course, he's coming out, you know, coming off that recent knockout loss or whatnot as well. So there's some, you know, question marks regarding him. But I think if this fight stays on the feet, these guys will have success back and forth. But I trust Blackwich a little bit more, despite him coming off that loss. I think that, you know, I think he's less chinny than Rockhold is at this point. So Rockhold, to me, is going to have to get this fight on the ground, and he can probably do so. And once he does, Blackwich, even though he's got good defensive skill overall, I think Rockhold's on another level, and he's very capable of finishing a guy even like Blackwich on the ground as well. So that's where, you know, I think Blackwich is going to have the most trouble, is when Rockhold finally does. He could just survive a little while and then finally gets that takedown and gets him down. I think that it'll be a whole different ballgame, and Rockhold's going to excel there. So hard not to like Rockhold in this fight. At the betting window, though, I do not. I think it is kind of a dog or pest situation, but I do think Rockhold's good enough to probably get this fight to the ground and do what he does best and end it there. So if not end it there, obviously at least repeatedly get enough takedowns and control to get him to the ground. But again, I have a hard time believing that if Rockhold gets most to the ground that he can't finish. So I think that it is one of those fights. But again, with that chin issue, with him being a little bit inconsistent, you know, not fighting as very often as we'd like to see him fight, I think you have to stay away from him. You have to respect Blackwich here as far as the betting window goes. So I'm going to pick Rockhold to win. I hope he looks great here and, you know, he kind of has some momentum, because there are probably some good fights ahead for him as well if he does get this win over Blackwich. I mean, there's even rumors about John Jones or whatnot. We'll see. I mean, let's take it one step at a time here. But that said, I'm going to pick Rockhold to win.
Yeah, my biggest concern here is Rockhold's durability. You know, he gets hit in the chin and he goes out. You saw that when he got knocked out by Bisping. You saw it when Yoel Romero got him. So that's definitely a huge vulnerability for Rockhold. But we've also seen fighters moving up a weight class. It improves their durability a little bit. You know, they add a little bit of protection, a little bit of extra muscle, a little bit of strength. And somehow they're able to endure a little bit stronger, like especially with somebody like Robert Whittaker. So that could potentially benefit Rockhold here. And just like with what Nick said, you know, Rockhold is a decent striker, and Blackowitz, while he is a talented striker on the other side, he doesn't have a ton of power. I mean, he's capable. He has some pop in his hands, but I'm not super concerned that he has that just one hit shot that Rockhold should be super afraid of. Although Bisping wasn't exactly a pure power puncher either, and he was able to hurt Rockhold. So regardless, Rockhold's going to have to protect the chin. And if he does that, though, I think he's going to be in pretty good shape. I mean, Jan Blachowicz is a talented fighter, but Rockhold does have decent striking defense. Actually, a little bit better striking defense and striking offense percentages than Blachowicz. But if he really wants to win this fight, get this to the floor. I mean, what really makes Rockhold great is that when he gets people to the ground, he doesn't just win, he finishes them. He has some of the best top control of any fighter I've ever seen. When he gets top position, he is either looking to finish you with a TKO or finish you with a submission. I mean, hands down, he can just get absolutely brutal on the canvas. You saw it when he took the title from Weidman. You saw it when he blistered Lyoto Machida on the ground. You saw it when he beat David Branch on the ground. You saw it when he tapped out Tim Boach, Michael Bisping the first time. I mean, the guy is just lethal on the canvas. Absolutely lethal. So I think as long as Rockhold is able to not get clipped on the feet, I think that he holds his own in the stand-up long enough to get this to the floor and get a finish. So Jan Błachowicz is tough, but I don't think anyone can endure top control from Luke Rockhold. So I'm going to side with Luke Rockhold here. Now, dropping down to the welterweight division, we have Jorge Masvidal, who is 33-13, taking on Ben Askren, who is 19-0, taking on Ben Askren, who is 19-0 with one no contest. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Askren -230, Masvidal +170 was the opening line. And right now over at BetDSI, we are seeing Askren -196, Masvidal +163. So just under 2-1, about 2-1 still market price overall. And, you know, a little bit more actually coming in Masvidal, but two-way action will be put on this fight and a lot more people. I wouldn't be surprised to see the line kind of escalate back up a little bit and then maybe drop back down. So there's going to be a lot of believers on both ends. I think there's going to be a lot of people that think that Askren is biting off more than he could chew in the UFC since coming over. I mean, honestly, he's been one of the best wrestlers in the game for so long, even, you know, when he was with Bellator, 1FC or whatnot. The guy's been special. I mean, such a good talent. He's had some, you know, competitive fights at times, but most cases he's been able to just ragdoll people, get him to the floor and do what he does best. I mean, one of the best wrestlers to ever compete in MMA thus far, just based on, again, maybe that's a little premature to say because he's only had one real fight in the UFC, but still, I mean, he's faced some decent competition, like I said, outside of the UFC as well. And he's proven that he's one of the better MMA wrestlers, in my opinion, in the sport. But I think it's another one of those cases that he might be coming into the UFC a little bit past his prime and a little bit too late for him. And this is a difficult fight against Masvidal. Masvidal, obviously, he's been around the game for so long, and we all know what his highlights are, and that's, you know, his amazing striking. The guy has pinpoint accuracy. He's got some knockout power. He's got that killer instinct. He's got a good ground game, good submission ability as well. I mean, he's a well-rounded fighter, but it's his striking ability that shines more than anything else. So if this fight stays on the feet, obviously it's a no-brainer who's going to win this fight. Askren doesn't have a chance on the feet against Masvidal, but Masvidal in the past has had issues with wrestlers, even though he's been drilling and working with a lot of great wrestlers, and his takedown defense is actually very, very good. It's against those elite level ground artists that he does struggle with at times that are capable of maybe stealing a round or two by getting him down to the floor. So that's why everybody's coming in. The ones that are at least betting Astro coming in thinking he's going to do what he does best. Cause he is one of the best all-time wrestlers in the sport, and Masvidal has had struggles in that area. So, I mean, as far as the blueprint to win, it's clear. If Askren can get this fight to the ground, he should be able to grind out Masvidal, maybe not finish him, but steal the scorecards for sure. If Askren cannot get this down to the ground, Masvidal is going to finish him. I mean, Masvidal wants to finish him. Masvidal does have a chip on his shoulder. Askren kind of playing those mental games. It's definitely, you know, I mean, it's having an impact for sure, but I don't know if that's what you want to do with a guy like Masvidal. In my opinion, you're just kind of pissing him off. I mean, he's going to come to fight as it is. It doesn't matter if you're playing mental games or not. I mean, he's going to come sprawl brawl and try to take your head off whether you make him mad or not. I mean, like I said, I don't think it's going to work as much as Askren probably thinks against a guy like Masvidal. So this is an interesting fight. I cannot lay the chalk here. It's definitely a dog or pass situation. So I know, you know, a lot of the action has been coming in Masvidal's way as well, and I can understand it. I mean, but again, common sense says Askren should be able to get this fight to the ground and should be able to do what he always does to most people. So it's hard for me to pick against that because we have seen that be Masvidal's flaw. So I am going to pick Askren to win, but I would not lay 2-1 chalk against Masvidal again, because I think Masvidal does have a lot more improvement on the ground than people think, despite that everybody's going to be pointing to that glaring Maya loss. Still, this is a different fight. I think it's a different possibility for him to showcase his improved takedown defense. And then again, his showcase his talented striking on the feet as well. So Askren has to be careful, and hopefully he didn't bite off more than he can chew here against the guy like Masvidal. But I have to use common sense and say I'm picking Askren because I do think his wrestling should be effective enough to probably get this win.
And yeah, my main thing here is Ben Askren has really good wrestling. And while Jorge Masvidal does have excellent takedown defense, he had issues stopping Damian Maya from taking him down for two rounds. And Maya was able to do that and then survive the third round and win a decision. So that's kind of how I see this fight playing out as well. yeah, Askren, he's not the most explosive wrestler, but I think that actually works to his advantage here because Masvidal's very good at controlling distance and keeping those fighters that rely on that explosive power double, keeping them at bay, kind of playing, like a bull rider or a bullfighter. So, with Askren though, all he really needs to do is close the distance and just get a hold of you at all. And then if he does that, the takedown attempts don't stop coming. I mean, single leg, double leg, clinch takedowns, he just gets a hold of you and he can drag you to the canvas with a trip or something. And that's really what his game's all about. I mean, he's known for being really funky. That's his nickname, because he just has this unorthodox style. So I think what happens here is, yes, Masvidal is going to get his striking going and he is going to absolutely get the better of Askren on the feet because Askren is not a good striker whatsoever. But I think it's only a matter of time until Askren closes that distance, maybe presses Masvidal to the fence, and then just starts completing those chain takedown attempts that just won't stop coming. And one of them is going to work. And I think that he can do that for at least two out of the three rounds here. And when he's in top position, Askren's tough to keep off. I mean, he is stifling. He has not great ground and pound just because he doesn't have a lot of power, but he kind of has that death by a thousand cuts ground and pound where it's just annoying and it wears on you and it wears you out and it does eventually accumulate. So I don't see Ben Askren finishing Masvidal, but I can see him winning a decision here. So I'm going to side with Ben Askren, but if he cannot get the takedowns going, this could get really ugly. Now moving on to the co-main event of the evening in the women's bantamweight division, we have champion Amanda Nunes, who is 17-4, putting her title on the line against Holly Holm, who is 12-4. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Nunes -345, Holm +275 was my opening line, and you could find that actually on MMAoddsbreaker.com. Brian had a write-up, and we actually broke John Jones and Amanda Nunes, so make sure you check that out. And again, it's actually listed also on Adam Martin's MMA opening odds reactions for UFC 239, so check those out. So Nunes, I opened -345, Holm +275, and right now what you're seeing over at BetDSI is Nunes -417, the comeback on Holm +333. So this has been one of those cases that line's kind of been bouncing up and down a little bit. Originally, a little bit more action started coming in on Holm. Now we're seeing some action coming back on Nunes, so it'll bounce back and forth, and I wouldn't be surprised on fight day if we see this line actually drop a little bit more, because in these high-level ladies fights, a lot of times women fights, we see, if it's a good, popular dog, we do see the public coming in, more so on the dog, like as far as the normal betting action or whatnot. So the public trend will probably come in on Holm by fight day, and the price should drop on Nunes. But as far as stylistical matchups go, man, I'll tell you what, Nunes has looked amazing. I mean, for me, my biggest issue with her has been her cardio. I think she's a tremendous fighter, but I mean, at times she slowed down and that's what's kind of caused her to have some iffy moments throughout her career. But man, she's showed us that, she's addressed those issues. She's been working hard. She knew that she had some, cardio problems. She's addressed that, even in, interviews in the past as well. And it seems like, she has things figured out. Her camps have been great. Her performances have been great. I mean, this is going to be a tough test. Holly Holm is one of the best female fighters that, has been on the roster for the UFC. It's a shame that that she hasn't been able to hold on to that strap. I know she beat Ronda Rousey and was able to grab the belt, but since that time, she wasn't able to get to reclaim gold or hold the featherweight or bantamweight ladies titles either. And she's a championship material for sure. So that's why I kind of feel for Holm. Because like I said, outside of that little run that she had there after she beat Rousey, she's had some really good fights, but it's been against all high level competition and she just hasn't able to be, to reclaim gold. That said, Nunes has been, she's a champ now. She has been phenomenal. She obviously has been the queen of the bantamweight division, and then coming in and dethroning Cyborg like she did was amazing. I mean, she's never been better, in my opinion, across the board, mentally, physically. I mean, everything to like about Nunes. And it's going to be a tough fight for Holm, because even though Holm is known for her striking and Nunes loves to stand and bang, you would think that this is kind of a good matchup for Holm. But Holm does absorb some punishment, and Nunes, her punching power that she has is going to be way too much for Holm to withstand, I think, as this fight progresses. I think Holm's best best path here would be to get some takedowns. Holm has underrated wrestling. We've seen her start using more of that wrestling and game planning from the Jackson crew, of course, Greg Jackson and company there. And I think that's kind of the game plan they want to play here. I know Nunes is hard to take down, so I don't think Holm is going to be able to follow that game plan and have success with it. But with all that being said, I mean, she has to at least try, because you don't want to stand and take these, you know, the punishment that Nunes is going to dish back here, because I don't think Holmes, again, is going to be able to absorb it along the way. Holmes is going to be able to maybe hang a little while and try to outpoint Nunes on the feet and land her own strikes. I mean, again, she's no slouch on the feet at all. I mean, I have a ton of respect for Holly Holm, but I just think that Nunes is going to be too much for her. I think if Holm can't get this to the ground, then it's going to be over. I think Nunes is actually going to be able to finish Holm before it hits the scorecards here. So, hard not to like Nunes. I mean, honestly, it just, I think she is one of the best female fighters. I'm not going to give her 100% pound for pound status right now, because I think Shevchenko is still better. Even though she has two wins over Shevchenko, I think pound for pound, Shevchenko is still a little bit better than Nunes. It's just a size factor that, honestly, that Nunes has been able to have over a fighter like that. So she is up there, though. I mean, I think, you know, it's 1A, 1B type of situation right now as far as pound for pound list. But make no mistake, Nunes is one of the all-time greats in the female division, and I think it's just going to be too much for Holm to handle here in this fight as well. And I think Nunes will successfully defend the bantamweight title. And she is capable. I mean, she is one of these fighters that can step up and defend, I think, in both weight classes. But I should say, this is going to be interesting to see if she has any conditioning, or not conditioning, but weight cut issues at 135 pounds after she did, you know, successfully win the featherweight title. So that's going to be at the weigh-ins. I'm going to be curious to see how close she is to weight, or if she has any difficulties or struggles with that. Maybe that would be a telling sign that her conditioning might not be up to par this time as well. But I think she's a professional at this point. I don't think we'll have those kind of issues. So that, again, I'm just throwing out there my little concerns about Nunes, if anything. But I mean, from what we've seen, she's been a true pro, and man, she's just such a dynamic, explosive, fun fighter to watch on the feet. And I think she gets it done probably by KO over Holm again. So the pick is Nunes, and it's honestly, for me, it isn't a dog or pass situation. I wouldn't play home at this price, even though it is tempting. I think Nunes wins.
Yeah, this one is pretty simple. I mean, basically, Holly Holm has to play the biggest game of cat and mouse of her entire career, because Amanda Nunes is powerful, she's explosive, she's extremely, extremely dangerous on the feet. Her hands are just lethal. And if Holm gets hit even one time on the chin, I think that she goes out. So, and she has to stay on the outside. She has to keep a long jab. She has to work her leg kicks. And the problem is, Amanda Nunes is exactly as tall as Holm. She actually has longer legs herself, and she has the exact same reach as Holm. So, well, the only real advantage here is that Holm does fight a little longer. So, but I mean, she's going to have to be on her bicycle on the outside for five straight rounds. And she already tried that strategy, and it, while it did make for a more competitive fight against Cyborg, I think Cyborg fought pretty composed and within herself a little bit, and didn't really go for the kill like she does in most fights. And Cyborg still didn't work. And I think Nunes is more powerful, quicker, younger, more dangerous than Cyborg. So, I think, you know, Holm's gonna try that strategy, but that strategy, while it worked great against somebody like Ronda Rousey, who's kind of a bull in the china shop, just wants to get in your face and take you out, Nunes is a lot more technical. Nunes has proper footwork. I think that she can cut Holm off along the cage, and she's going to find those openings, and she's going to connect. So, and Nunes also has improved her conditioning. So I'm not really concerned about Holm dragging Nunes into deep waters, because I don't even think this goes to deep waters. I think within the first two rounds, Nunes is going to connect, and I don't think Holm's chin is going to withstand the power. So I'm going to side with Amanda Nunes here. I think she wins by knockout. Now, moving on to the main event of the evening. In the light heavyweight division, we have champion John Jones, who is 24-1 with one no contest, taking on Thiago Santos, who is 21-6. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I opened Jones minus 900, the comeback on Santos plus 500. Again, the article is up, UFC 239 opening odds reactions on Adam from Adam Martin. And then you could click on the link and check out Brian Heminger's article on John Jones there with my original opening line at minus 900 plus 500. That said, right now, currently at BetDSI, it is currently Jones minus 667, the comeback on Santos plus 467. So line margins have tightened up. And if you think about it, I mean, it seems like a drastic drop, but the dog is plus 467 right now, and I opened it plus 500. So not as bad as you would think, although public is coming in on Santos, and I'm not surprised at all, and it'll probably be continuing to be the trend. I mean, I think on what you're going to see here is probably more the sharp bettors not afraid to lay that chalk on Jones, and you're going to see a ton of public bettors like what they see at Thiago Santos and the power that he has. And legit, the guy has a puncher's chance. I mean, Santos has that type of striking and ability on the feet that if he lands on anybody on the UFC roster, he could definitely put him out. I mean, the guy is physically strong, and again, once he with the technique that he has, I mean, not a sloppy fighter. If he lands a kick, if he lands one of those punches, he could hurt you. So he has a puncher's or kicker's chance in this fight, but that's about it. I mean, Jones is obviously one of the best all time for a reason. I think Jones is going to have a significant advantage here. I think Jones is going to be okay with him on the feet, but he's not going to play around with Santos on the feet, even though he can. I think Jones is going to be able to get this fight to the floor, and then once it's on the floor, it's going to be a wrap. Santos is not going to survive John Jones on the floor. So, I mean, all that, you know, money that people are throwing in on the dog, honestly, I think it's going to be a waste. I mean, if you're going to take Santos, take him inside the distance or take him by knockout, because outside of that, I mean, you're going to get even better value, obviously, if that's the case. And outside, not much probably, but outside, that's the only way he's going to win this fight. Jones is going to finish this fight inside. I know he hasn't been the kind of the finisher overall. I mean, he looked impressive and, you know, against Gustafson and out, you know, and was able to finish that fight, but he's had some times where Jones has kind of cruised along and not finished fights. But with that said, I think this is a spot where he is going to finish. He's not going to mess around. He doesn't want to keep a dangerous fighter like Santos around long. Not that he wants to keep anybody around long, but I'm just saying, I know, you know, again, Greg Jackson and crew and everybody's going to have the game plan. They're going to, you know, probably methodically pick Santos apart and get this done relatively quick. I would be surprised if it goes more than two rounds. I mean, I really think that Jones could probably end this thing at maybe the first takedown or two that he gets. Or like I said, I mean, he doesn't really even have to go that route, but I think that's the route he will go, and that's probably the safest route for him to do so. So hard not to like Jones here. I think all the dog money is just going to go down, you know, in flame, but keep it coming. I mean, overall, I just think, like I said, outside of a miracle, Santos shouldn't win this fight. I mean, a good fighter. He's honestly impressed me quite a bit. I've underestimated him, and he's come through against some very good competition. So it's not like I'm saying Santos doesn't belong in this title shot. He's earned it in a lot of ways because he's beat some very good fighters. So you've got to take your hat off to Santos. And I think the guy's improved a ton. So he has made a lot of progress, and he's getting better. So I don't want to discredit him as a worthy kind of challenger, but I mean, in most cases, who's really going to compete with John Jones outside of the DCs and so those other fighters that we, you know, that we're all kind of thinking that, you know, that can maybe be a threat to John Jones, the elite level championship level guys. And I'm not sure Santos is that. I think Santos is one of these guys that kind of picks off everybody else in between and is obviously too dangerous and explosive for most. But once he gets in that upper tier of true championship level fighters, he's just not there. So the pick is Jones. I'm done talking about this fight. Like I said, I'd be pretty surprised if Santos does pull off this upset.
Yeah, John Jones is the best fighter in the history of mixed martial arts. And while Thiago Santos has absolutely earned this opportunity, just like Anthony Smith before him, I mean, he just does not have the skill set. Realistically, the best path to victory here for Santos, he just connect with something crazy, like a kick, a spinning back fist, some big lethal punch. But John Jones has a 9-inch reach advantage. He's very difficult to get a hold of. To connect with. His striking defense is elite. His striking offensively is elite. His takedowns are tenacious, and when he gets top position on the ground, his opponents typically get put away pretty quickly. So, I mean, there's unless Santos is just able to catch him, then I just don't see it happening. And realistically, the only path to victory for Santos, I think, is catching John Jones on a takedown attempt with like some kind of flying knee or something, or jumping knee, because I don't think Santos catches John Jones in a stand-up exchange, because John Jones is just going to be so far away and hard to hit. He's just going to be throwing a lot of those ugly, long push kicks to the knee and jabs to the face, and he'll keep those hands out in front of him, so Santos isn't able to get inside. So, like I said, the only way Santos wins, I think, is if he catches John Jones with like a jumping knee and puts him out on the way in. Because I think John Jones does take him down eventually. Santos's ground game is a huge liability. He's been submitted multiple times, and if John Jones does put him on the ground, it's only a matter of time until Jones either knocks him out or taps him out. So, I mean, there's really not much more to say about this fight. Santos is a talented fighter. He's a lethal striker, but John Jones is the best fighter on the planet, and I don't expect Santos to be the one to dethrone him. So my pick's going to be John Jones. I think that he put Santos away with a finish inside the first, possibly, round, but if he takes his time within the first three rounds. So that'll do it for our full event breakdown for UFC 239. If we have a free play to give out, make sure to follow at MMA OB Premium on Twitter, because that's where we'll post them first. We can also notify you of our free bets via email alert if you prefer that method. Just send an email to picks@MMAoddsbreaker.com and we'll add you to our free bet mailing list. Special thanks to BetDSI. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this weekend.